Good morning, Lebanon United Methodist Church. What a pleasure it is to be with you, to worship with you, and to be part of God's great work in the Northeast, in New England, through the United Methodist Church, and around the world. I need to say a special thank you to all those who worked on the Consecration Sunday team, planned the meal, helped with the communication, recruited people to prime the pump for today's celebration. If you're here, would you please raise your hand so the rest of the congregation can say thank you to you? Thank you so much. I also want to say thanks to Pastor Becca for sharing her life and ministry with you and with me. We have shared some adventures together, and I look forward to future adventures with her. I've discovered that the conversation about stewardship and giving is something that we still find challenging at times. And yet I have found that these conversations are one of the most important and deepest ways that we build our understanding of faith and our relationship with others and our connection to this world. The sermon title today is Sermon on the Amount, and that is a pun, you know. The question is always, what is the right amount? Do any of you remember the movie about the guy who found the answer to life, universe, and everything? Do you remember that movie and the book series? Well, the answer to that was 42, and I don't know if that's any value to you or not, but that's one answer that is thrown out there. The answer that I think is most helpful is that our giving is always a reflection of our understanding of how blessed we are by God. This church is truly incredibly blessed. Look at this space. Look at the beauty. Look at the musical talent. Look at the technology that is in this place for your work and ministry and for your celebration of God's blessings with you. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offered guidelines for right living. And today I would like to offer you four principles for right giving that have been helpful in my life. There's a story about a man and a woman who were doing parenting training, and they were jaunting around the country touting their 12 principles of effective parenting. And then they had a child. And their title became 9 Principles of Parenting Practices. Then they had 2 children in quick succession, and their title became 5 Guidelines for Getting Through. They then had high school students, the teenagers. They disappeared from the teaching circuit for a while, and when they came back, they had 3 suggestions that might help. I'm going to offer you 4 suggestions that have helped me on my journey and remind me how challenging and rewarding it is when we journey together and think about God's blessings to each of us. The first principle, and we've heard it in some of the liturgy this morning already, is that everything is a gift from God. Everything's a gift from God. What does that mean? How do we embody that? How do we express our recognition of that? If everything is a gift from God, that means that just the opportunity of being born in this country, of having access to the educational opportunities that are here, to the medical services, those aren't a privilege and a right. Those are a gift from God. And while sometimes our institutions and systems frustrate us, we still are pretty gifted. That breath that you took, that's a gift from God. There are some members of this congregation who have served your country through the military, and they know what it feels like to make a decision to give sacrificially for the good of another human being. They know there's great joy and reward in those decisions. Carrie Walker is a woman who was diagnosed with MS, and one of the strategies her doctor encouraged her to try was to simply do something good for 40 days. So she spent 40 days sending notes to friends, calling neighbors that she hadn't seen recently, even saving the last piece of chocolate cake for her husband. And you know what? She was able to manage her illness with more gratitude and joy than she ever imagined that she possibly could. With so many miracles around us, why can't we just believe that there will be more miracles? God is making miracles possible around us. Joyful giving flows from knowing what we have already received, all these gifts that God has given us. When our hearts are grounded in God's love, we are always generous. For those of you that are more scientifically minded, there's a story about some students that were given envelopes. Some of the envelopes had a little bit of money in them, and some of the envelopes had a lot of money in them. And the students, half of the students were told to spend the money on themselves, and half were told to spend it on somebody else. Afterwards, they brought the group back together and asked them to rate their happiness. Guess who was happiest? Those who had used that gift, that resource, to help another person reported that they actually felt healthier. I believe there's a biochemical link between how we function and how God inspires us. Giving is actually an exceedingly healthy practice and generates lots of joy. I've had the privilege of serving as the Imagine No Malaria campaign coordinator in the New England Conference, and it is so much fun to watch the joy that people experience and express when they discover $10 saves a life, and they can be connected with people all over the world who at night worry about whether or not a mosquito will make them sick. We now have three churches in the New England Conference who have won either a cash prize or a trophy for their Imagine No Malaria floats in a community parade or display. Can this church get outside of our buildings and be in our communities? I think the answer is yes, when we focus on all that God has given us and explore how we can give it away. The second principle is that God has chosen us. We have been chosen by God to be the stewards of God's creation. What does it mean to be chosen? For some people, being chosen by God is truly a transformational experience. Do we protect or do we abuse God's creation? Life is full of all kinds of stewardship dilemmas. You know, are we going to have paper plates at the luncheon, or are we going to have china plates that will have to be washed? Will we wash by hand, or will we use dishwashers? Will we use disposable diapers, or will we use cloth diapers? Think about all the different decisions we have to make. Will we buy a book at the bookstore, or will we borrow one from the library? Will we come up with a substitute ingredient in the kitchen when we're missing that last ingredient for a recipe? Or will we get in the car, turn it on, drive 10 miles down to the grocery store and get that ingredient? All of our lives are full of these dilemmas and choices that are reflected. There are no right answers to them, because at one time what's a right answer could possibly change at another time in our lives. How do we think about all the choices that we make every day and recognize that choosing to drive or to walk somewhere is a stewardship choice and a symbol of how we care for God's creation? I choose to do my giving through the church. Giving is a spiritual discipline. And sometimes I have to remind myself that my gift to God is my gift to God through the church, regardless of whether I'm happy about the color of the new choir robes, or whether I like or don't like the parking options at my church, or whether I am deeply in love with the new pastor, or whether we're still getting to know each other. All of those things can be renegotiated and can all change and grow over time. My tithe is not negotiable. Tithers are happy people. The first check I ever made that was a tithe was not a tithe on my actual income. It was a tithe on the amount I hoped my income could become. I was between jobs, and I said, okay, God, you said you could make things work out. And so I wrote a check that was bigger than the check I had ever written in my life to the church, and realized later that was a tithe of what I hoped I could someday receive as income. Within 2 or 3 months, I had a job that enabled me to continue giving at that level because it happened to be about the same amount. There's a stewardship speaker that I was listening to a couple of days ago, and he said he wrote a letter to his college professor. They were asking him how he was using his math degree, and he'd become a preacher. And he said he wrote to the dean of the school that he had discovered that it's easier to live on 90% of my income than on 100%. It's more joyful. After all, 100% of what we have is God's. Remember the first principle? It can be a challenge and it is a reward and joyful. The third principle is that if we are chosen to be God's stewards, our call is to align our priorities with God's priorities, right? So who are God's favorite people? God's favorite people are the poor. Now let's include all of us in that, because all of us at times are poor in spirit, poor in health, poor in will, poor in courage. There are all times, all of us have times when we're poor or lacking in something. But over and over again, the scriptures remind us that Jesus called us to be kind, to care for those who are poor and those who are lacking in earthly goods. I want to tell you two stories. One is about a woman who became my friend when I met her while she was homeless. And she allowed me to meet her family and to participate with her family and to help her find secure housing. I decided one day that I would give her a gift, that I would take her family to the New England Aquarium. Well, my son worked at the New England Aquarium, so I could get them in for free. So I took him to the New England Aquarium. After visiting the aquarium, we walked back to our car, and I decided that I could buy them all lunch. So we went to a little corner shop, and I bought them all lunch. Feeling pretty good. As we walked out of the corner store, there was a woman sitting on the stoop begging. And guess what Denise did? Denise reached into her pocket and pulled out a few coins and gave it to the woman sitting on the stoop. She taught me that you can give out of your abundance or you can give out of your essence. She had given out of her essence, saying, there's always somebody who's worse off than we are. Why wouldn't we give everybody a hand up if we could? Denise's son, Juwan, got accepted into the Job Corps. They're living in Massachusetts. They're from the Dominican Republic, and he's going to Limestone, Maine. I grew up in Maine, so I knew he was going to need a hat, he was going to need a coat, he was going to need boots, he was going to need some long underwear. So I took him to Kohl's. You know, not the best shop, but decent. And I said, well, I'll spend about $100, God. That'll be my good gift to Joanne. As we wandered around and looked at the prices of boots and hats and the long underwear that he wanted and the gloves that he wanted and the coat that he really liked, I realized this was not going to be a $100 gift. This was going to be more like $200 or more. Okay, God. I signed on for this. I better follow through. So we walked out of there. He was grinning. He had $250 worth of winter garb to go off on his adventure. Guess what I got in the mail the next day? A check for about $200 for a course that I had forgotten that I had taught. God took care of me when I chose to follow God's call and to care for others. And I know others of you have had similar experiences, and invite you to share those with each other, to share those stories, because it is in giving that we receive the blessings of God. God's people are looking for you. Are you looking for them? The fourth principle is simply that today matters. Today is a day when we'll make a decision, you'll make a choice, you will set a goal for yourself. You know, when I was in probably second or third grade, I got this little bank book from the school, and they said, you know, if you put 50 cents or a dollar in this every week, you'll be practicing a good discipline. Well, if I had done that, my life would be so different from the way it is now. The choices that we've made in the past affect our choices and our opportunities now, and the choices that we make today will affect our choices and opportunities tomorrow. What will we do today? What will we do to take care of tomorrow? And as a staff member of the United Methodist Foundation, I want you to know that we encourage all of you to make sure you have a will, to make sure that you're leaving a legacy, instructions for how you want your family members to steward your resources that you've accumulated during your lifetime. Because if you don't have a will, who makes decisions for you? The state. Okay, and we love our states, but our states are not generous, and they're not philanthropically minded. So if you've supported the church during your lifetime, the only way you can support the church and its ministries beyond your lifetime is to put it in writing and have an approved document that will stand up when you're no longer there to defend your vision. There's a newspaper reporter who was quoted, and I'm not Newsweek, and that's a secular magazine, and she reported this story of how people would come to her and ask her, how do we make ends meet? She said that people who make $10,000 a year and people that make $100,000 a year ask the same question, how do you make ends meet? She said, I have noticed that people who say they give away 10% of their earning, that live on 90% of their earning, are much less likely to ask that question. They seem to be much better off. Today you're going to set a generosity goal, and that could be a dollar amount or it could be a percentage. A dollar amount's easier for your financial secretary to compute, but you may want to think about your giving and think about in terms of, God, how can I grow a percentage this year? What are you challenging me to think about? I encourage you to consider these four principles. And you know, it really doesn't matter to me what amount is right for you. But I hope that you will trust God. Prayerfully consider all the blessings that God has made possible through you, to you, to this community. I hope that you will consider an amount that will make you laugh, because it's only possible with God's help. When you laugh and smile, God laughs and God smiles. I want us to sing a song this morning, and this will be our cue to get the kids back in here. Becca, you may remember this. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Try it again. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One more time. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're trying to get the kids in here, so let's keep singing. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They're coming, but let's sing them in. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Welcome back, people of all ages. This morning we've been talking about how richly blessed we have been by God. And today is the day that's the culmination of work by some leaders of this congregation. One of the things they've done is they've prepared a wonderful meal for all of us to enjoy after this worship service. There is plenty of food, so even if you have not signed up or pre-registered to come to the meal, please feel free to join this congregation, spend some time getting to know some of these amazing people. In a moment, I'm going to ask the ushers to come up, and I'm going to pass out a commitment card. A commitment is a covenant. It is not a legally binding document, and sometimes our commitments, our covenants, change during the year. So we talked about thinking about a percentage commitment or a dollar amount commitment. I invite you, when you receive the card, to talk to your family members, if they're here with you, about how you or your family would like to respond. Some families fill out one card. Some families fill out more than one card. If you're a visitor here with us today, take a look at the card. Please don't feel any pressure to participate, but we want you to see how committed this congregation is to being intentional about planning for the future and for giving back to God in response to all that God has blessed us with. There will be no closing music. There will be no closing prayer. After you've filled out your card, we invite you to bring your card to the front, place it in the basket, and then if you'd like to pray at the rail, you can pray at the rail, and we will exit quietly, and we will gather in the kitchen in the fellowship hall for a time of refreshment and fellowship. So once again, I give you thanks for participating in the life and ministry of this church. This church is a blessing. You have been blessed to be part of it. I have been blessed to be part of you today, to be with you today. And as the ushers will come and distribute these cards, please know that you are held in prayer by all of us and by this whole community. And we give thanks to God for all that you are, all that you will be, and all that will come from the commitments that you make today. I give you thanks, O God. Amen.